moments, Dabian opened his eyes again, stepping back. "Thank you." "That's all?" Ilric rubbed his forehead where Davian's hand had been, looking uneasy. "I didn't feel anything." "That's all," said Dabian with a smile. Weir stared at his friend, fascinated. "Did it work?" Dabian shrugged. "I should get myself a sword. After that, I suppose we'll know soon enough." Weir went to help Dabian secure a weapon. By the time they returned to Aelric and Decia, sunset was vanishing into dusk, leaving only a slowly fading glow and plunging the flat plains that approached Ilan Tora into a deep murk. They had been standing there for less than a minute when Weir spotted a flicker of movement in the distance. A few moments later, a horn blasted from somewhere down the wall. "Here they come," muttered Aelric. A mass of glinting black resolved itself from the gloom that covered the plains, moving faster than Weir would have believed possible as it surged forward into the narrow pass. It was hard to tell in the fading light, but Weir thought there were a couple of hundred men rushing into the enclosed space below, 300 at most. "Where are the rest of them?" he wondered aloud, nerves making his voice tight. Aelric shook his head. "This is just the first wave. They know that having more than 200 men in here at once is a waste of energy." Weir didn't respond, chewing at his lip as Decia walked forward to join the other Andaran archers at the front of the wall. The order to draw rang out, and Decia notched an arrow, her actions deliberate and her hands steady. Weir couldn't help but admire her composure. Then the blind were in range and arrows were raining down upon them. Weir's heart sank as he watched the men below rush onward, unfazed. The archers fired again and again, but it didn't seem to matter. Weir didn't see a single enemy soldier falter, let alone fall. The oncoming black mass hit the wall like a wave as the last of the light faded from the sky. The next few minutes passed in chaos. All along the first shield, screams rang out as attackers started appearing like wraiths along the battlements, reaching over with preternatural speed and strength to pull soldiers over the wall and to their deaths. They were little more than black shadows, silent, appearing from nowhere and vanishing behind the parapet again within moments. Weir had already begun retreating when a darker shape against the night sky shifted in the corner of his eye. Davian leapt forward, blade whipping out. There was no sound except that of metal on metal, but his sword met solid resistance, and the owner of the armor was sent flying backward into the darkness. "They're not using ladders," Dabian warned Weir. "You should get further back. They could be coming up anywhere." "How is that possible?" asked Weir. "It has to be the armor," interjected Decia, who had also retreated a little, but was still smoothly firing off arrows whenever she caught sight of movement. She allowed herself a quick glance along the battlements. "It must allow them to climb the wall somehow." Weir followed her gaze. There were plenty of men crowding along the parapet, but already it seemed as though the Andaran front line was thinning. Replacements were being ushered up the stairs at the back, but Weir could already see the futility of it. The blind might be heavily outnumbered, but each attacker was going to be worth too many defenders.
"It's blocking Khan, too," added Dabian grimly, his sword lashing out at another shadowy figure.
His movements didn't look anywhere near as assured as Aelric's, but Weir could tell Dabian knew how to handle a blade now.
"I can't push it past these ill-cursed helmets."
"Wonderful," said Aelric, already a little out of breath.
He flinched back as another blade slashed out from the black.
"We're not going to last an hour if we can't see them. I take it neither of you can do anything about that?"
Weir hesitated, then closed his eyes, tapping his reserve. Focused inward. Cautiously, he drew from the pool of molten light, then twisted it, condensed it, made it brighter, as he'd done countless times before. Nothing happened.
"Ill cursed tenets," he muttered.
He issued a frustrated shake of the head to Aelric as the other man backed away from the edge of the wall for a moment, giving Weir a questioning glance.
"It's still trying to use essence with the intent to cause harm to non-gifted."
Things passed in a blur after that. Weir was reluctant to leave his friends, but he knew he was needed elsewhere. Soon enough, he had joined the gifted from Tol Shen, healing those soldiers who were still able to stagger away from the front lines. Weir was the strongest of the group, and he threw himself into the work. It was all he could do to concentrate,
to block out the screams of the injured, the scent of men soiling themselves, and the hot, sticky feel of blood. Finally, though, his reserve began to empty, and he looked up to see the Undaran line was dangerously thin, threatening to break. Even as he did so, a horn rang out with two quick blasts, the signal to fall back, abandon the first shield. He headed for the stairs, numb as he glanced back to see black-clad soldiers pouring over the parapet, dispatching anyone too slow to retreat. They were losing. Asha stared up at the second shield in horror, stomach churning as the screams of the dying echoed around the pass. She glanced behind her at the long line of shadows that followed in her wake, suddenly uncertain. Were they too late? Word of the blind's sooner-than-expected attack had only reached them an hour ago. Though she'd done her best to organize the shadows quickly, she could see that the first shield had already fallen. She stared for a moment longer, then drew a deep, steadying breath and grabbed the arm of the nearest soldier. "Where's General Paraith?" The man blinked at her in surprise, his gaze shifting over her shoulder to take in the small army of shadows behind her.
"I'm not sure if..."
"Just tell me," said Asha, putting as much cool anger into her tone as she could manage. The soldier blanched, then gestured towards the top of the wall. Asha gave a sharp nod. She turned to Gale, an older shadow who had helped her distribute the vessels to everyone else.
"Keep everyone here. I'll see where they want us," she told him.
Gale nodded, turning to let the others know as Asha hurried off. Several soldiers paused to give her curious looks as she shouldered her way towards the second shield, but none moved to stop her. Asha climbed the stairs two at a time, quickly spotting General Paraith once she was at the top. She was about to head towards him when there was motion to her left and a blue cloak suddenly stood in her way.
"What do you think you're doing up here?"
the young administrator asked, his tone grim.
"I'm here to help,"
Asha replied, staring the man in the eye.
"I just need to speak to the general. Please let me past."
The administrator stared at her in disbelief for a few moments.
"Nonsense! Get off the wall," he sneered eventually. "You're only going to get in the..."
Asha gestured, a small movement. She'd managed to practice a little with the ring today, know enough to control its strength now. And there wasn't time for this. The administrator stumbled backward as if shoved hard in the chest, tripping and sliding several feet before coming to a sprawling halt. Asha walked past, ignoring the startled stares from those around her who had seen what had happened.
"General Paraith,"
she called when she was within hearing range. The general looked up, frowning a little when he saw who it was, but waving her through the cordon of men surrounding him.
"Ishalia, isn't it?"
said Paraith, examining her with undisguised curiosity.
"The Athian representative?"
Asha nodded.
"I'm not here in that capacity right now, I'm afraid," she said. "But I do have 100 shadows with me, and we all have vessels that can be used as weapons. Just tell me how we can help."
The general stared at her for a few moments in silence.
"Do you know," he said softly, a flicker of hope in his weary eyes. "Anything that can get rid of this accursed darkness?"
Asha nodded. There were a few vessels that would create plenty of light, even if that wasn't their primary purpose.
"Some that can heal people, too," she said, noting a wounded man being carried down the stairs.
Paraith nodded slowly, staring out into the darkness towards the first shield.
"Send a few of them up," he said. "Let's see what you can do."
Asha nodded, exhaling in relief, and hastening back to find the others. The presence of the shadows had already caused a small stir on the ground, but thankfully the soldiers there had too many other concerns already to have become confrontational. Soon she was hurrying back up to Paraith with a small group of shadows in tow, and the general quickly allocated them to various points along the wall.
"Where do you want me?"
she asked Paraith as she sent the last man on his way. The general shook his head.
"I need to keep you safe," he said. "I don't know any of these people, and they don't know me. If they listen to you, I have to make sure you don't come to any harm."
Asha grimaced, but accepted the general's logic with a reluctant nod. Paraith turned to the man at his right.
"Hale, give the shadows the order."
Asha stiffened at the familiar name. This was Hale, the man from Aaron's vision. In the back of her mind, she suddenly wondered where the augurs were in all this. She watched the middle-aged man as he signaled to two shadows standing at the back of the shield. He looked no different to, nor more threatening than, any of the other soldiers along the wall. She turned her attention to the shadows he had motioned to. Each held long, thin white rods. At Hale's gesture, they pointed the vessels at opposite sides of the pass and closed their eyes. Two lines of light burst into existence, molten streams of twisted energy pulsing along the smoothly cut walls of Fedris Idri, throwing everything into sharp relief. For a moment, everything paused. Even Asha, who had been expecting it, was shocked at the sudden brightness. She looked over towards the edge of the shield, now able to see the black-armored men as they scrambled over the parapet. She shivered as she took in the unsettling eyeless helmets, and then her stomach churned as she recognized the design etched onto the front of them. It was the symbol she'd seen on the side of Davian's neck that night he had appeared in her room, the one that had been cut into his skin. She gave the attackers her full attention now. In the distance, atop the first shield, she could see more of the blind standing amongst the Andaran corpses that were littered across it. These ones had no helmets, though. They just stood there, motionless, watching.
Asha?
The familiar voice interrupted her thoughts, and she tore her gaze away with a shiver to see Weir kneeling beside a wounded man only a few feet away, staring at her in surprise. Her friend let the last traces of essence vanish into the man's newly healed side, then stood, hurrying over to her.
"What are you doing here?"
he asked, concern in his tone. A long horn blast echoed along the wall, the signal parade that arranged for the shadows to attack. The area in front of the second shield exploded into a cauldron of light, wind, and fire. The soldiers along the top of the shield stopped as one, watching in awe as the pass below vanished under the wreaths of thick, swirling smoke, which flickered an ominous red with the light of the fierce flames beneath. Several men covered their ears as shrieks of power ripped through the night, bolts of essence sizzling down from the second shield into the maelstrom. A thunderous gust of wind suddenly swept down, catching up the black-clad men clambering over the wall and casting them back out into space like rag dolls. Asha watched as they vanished, screaming into the cloud of crimson smoke. She spotted one or two holding on and flicked her wrist at them. They sailed off into the air like the others as Weir looked on, frozen to the spot, open-mouthed.
"Prince Torin!"
It was Paraith, shouting over the cacophony that still thundered around the pass.
"The shadows look to have things under control for the time being. Get some rest."
Weir glanced around, spotting the group of shadows that had joined the gifted and had started healing some of the wounded. He sagged with visible relief, and for the first time Asha realized just how pale and drawn he looked. She didn't know how many people he'd healed, but it was evident he'd pushed himself to the brink. Even so, Weir looked about to protest before eventually giving a reluctant nod.
"You fetch me if I'm needed,"
he yelled to Paraith. He threw a questioning glance at Asha, but she shook her head, indicating that she was going to stay. She was needed up here. Weir gave her a tired smile, squeezing her arm in farewell before joining a trail of weary soldiers limping down the stairs. Soon the initial thunder of the shadows' attack quietened, and an eerie hush descended on the smoke-filled pass. The silence was still broken by an occasional ear-piercing shriek as one or another of the shadows fired bolts of energy into the chaos below, but the ringing in Ash's ears slowly faded. Finally confident that the blind had broken off their attack, she crept forward to the edge of the shield, peering down. Smoke still obscured some of the gap between the first and second shields, but enough was visible to know that the blind had withdrawn, regrouping atop the first shield and out of range of the shadow's weapons. There were plenty of bodies below, but her stomach lurched as she realized that few of the ones she could see were clad in black. Either the blind had dragged away their dead, or, more ominously, not many of those who had been blasted off the second shield had been killed by the fall.
"We've pushed them back for now," said Paraith as he joined her at the parapet.
He stared down into the smoke-filled pass below, his expression pensive.
"Those flames are too hot even for them to get through, I suspect. But there's only stone down there, nothing that will burn of its own accord."
Asha gave a thoughtful nod.
"If we rotate fresh people onto those vessels every so often,
"We should be able to keep the fires going indefinitely," she said in response to the implied query. Paraith exhaled, a relieved sound.
"Thank the fates," he said. "If you hadn't arrived when you did..."
He was silent for a few moments, then clapped her gently on the shoulder.
"I'm heading down to check how everyone is faring below, but stay alert. If you see anything, have someone fetch me. You've given us an advantage, but these accursed blind don't strike me as the type to give up. It's not over yet. Not even close," he concluded, gazing through the shimmering red haze towards the first shield.
Asha watched as Paraith walked away, wondering if the general knew exactly how true those words really were.
"Not even close," she repeated quietly.
Weir flinched as another shriek of power cut the air, echoing off the walls of Fedris Idri. He glanced back up towards the top of the second shield, swaying a little as exhaustion threatened to get the better of him. He knew he needed to sit down, to rest, but already the screams of the dying were beginning to weigh on him. Even with the Shen gifted and the shadows still on the wall, he was one of only a handful of people who could truly help the wounded.
"I wonder how long they can keep that up,"
came a voice from behind him. Weir turned to see Davian following his gaze upward. His friend looked haggard but uninjured.
"Davian,"
he embraced the black-haired boy in relief.
"I lost track of you.
I didn't know."
Davian gave him a tired grin.
"Can't say it wasn't a near thing, but I'm okay. And Aelric and Decia are too. They're around here somewhere. We all fell back after the shadows did what they did."
He shook his head dazedly at the memory, as if still unwilling to believe what had just transpired. Weir knew exactly how he felt. He was still trying to comprehend the implications of shadows apparently being able to use vessels.
"Did you see Asha?"
he asked. Davian frowned.
"She's here?"
Weir was about to reply when he spotted his father approaching, walking alongside a fatigued-looking General Paraith. Weir gave his father a weary smile and the two embraced.
"My father,"
he explained to Davian after stepping back again.
"And General Paraith."
Davian shook hands awkwardly.
"Pleased to meet you, General.
Your Grace?"
The Duke gave an absent nod, though his eyes were still fixed on the top of the second shield.
"And you, Davian? Torin has told me all about you," he said. "We have much to discuss once this is all over."
Weir smiled when he saw Davian's expression.
"He really does just mean a discussion, Dav. Nothing sinister, I promise."
"Of course," said Davian quickly, though Weir could still see a hint of nervousness in his nod. Weir turned to Paraith.
"How are they doing up there, General?"
"Well enough, for now," said Paraith. "The shadows say they can do what they're doing indefinitely. It at least buys us some time."
He hesitated, casting a cautious glance at the Duke.
"And perhaps if the King changes his mind?" "No. No chance," Elosian shook his head. "If anything, my brother is worse. I spoke to him not an hour ago. Told him we were being beaten back. He still won't take action. I suspect he'll let the city burn before he lets the gifted fight in his current state."
He rubbed his forehead.
"I shudder to think what he'll do when he hears about the shadows."
Paraith looked sick at the news, but nodded.
"We'll just have to manage with what we..."
Two bodies landed with a crashing of armor against stone not 20 feet from where they stood. All four men stared in shock for a moment, then as one turned their gaze upward as panicked shouts began echoing along the second shield. Weir squinted against the bright light shining down from the walls of the pass. The sporadic flashes from the shadow's weapons had stopped. There was plenty of motion atop the shield, but he couldn't tell what was going on at this distance. No one had sounded the retreat, and there were too many men atop that wall to have been overwhelmed so suddenly. Yet without warning, another two pairs of screaming men plummeted from the sky, crashing to their deaths against the floor of the pass.
"Fates,"
muttered Paraith. He turned to a nearby soldier, who was looking in horror at the motionless bodies.
"Nick, find out what in fates is going on up there."
The soldier nodded, taking two steps towards the shield. Then he spun, sword out and flashing.
The man who had been standing guard next to him cried out in alarm, but it was too slow. Nick's blade embedded itself in his skull with a sickening, wet crunch. The next few moments passed as if they were minutes. Everyone stared in frozen, stunned horror as Nick wrenched his blade free. Then Paray, then two of the other guards went for their swords. Nick turned to the general, lips curled back in a rictus of rage as he leapt, sword outstretched, its connection with Paray's chest inevitable. And then the blade had vanished from Nick's hands and reappeared through his neck, with Davian holding the hilt. Nick slumped to the ground, eyes glassy as blood spurted onto the stone. Paraith stood frozen, his hand on his hilt.
"Thank you," he said to Davian, dazed. "But how?"
"No time," Davian gestured. Weir turned to where he was pointing, suddenly aware of how close the surprised shouts of the men had become. He stared around in dismay. Andoran defenders everywhere were turning on each other. Soldiers were drawing their swords and lunging at their comrades, apparently heedless of any harm that might come to themselves. Duels were breaking out all along the pass, men defending themselves desperately against those who moments ago had been their allies. In less than 30 seconds, the relative calm between the second and third shields had descended into chaos.
"We've been betrayed," said Paraith, his voice hollow.
Weir found himself shaking his head as he briefly replayed Nick's attack, remembering the man's dead eyes.
"No, I've seen this before," he turned to Paraith. "They're called Echoes, General. I don't know a lot about it, but the blind are controlling them somehow."
"They're not doing this of their own volition?"
Paraith gave Weir a hopeful look.
"Is there any way to snap them out of it?"
Weir grimaced.
"No, it's not them anymore," he said reluctantly. "Anyone who's an Echo is already dead. Tell your men not to hesitate."
"He's right." It was Davian, who was staring at the nearest Echoes with a perturbed expression.
"I can't read them. They're just empty," he finished, shivering.
Paraith gave Davian an uneasy glance, then turned back to Weir.
"Are you certain about this, Your Highness?"
"Quite."
Weir extended a hand as one of the Echoes nearby made straight for their group. There wasn't much left in his reserve after all the healing he'd performed, but it was enough. A bolt of white light sped from his fingertips, blasting the man he'd spotted backward.
"They're dead,"
he repeated grimly in response to the surprised look of the others.
"Or at least no longer human. I wouldn't have been able to do that otherwise."
Paraith looked sick.
"We have to fall back to the third shield," he concluded in a heavy tone.
Before he could give the order, though, Paraith's second-in-command, Hale, rushed through the fighting towards them.
"Sir,"
he gasped to Paraith,
"the enemy have taken the harbor in the lower district. They're pressing us hard, trying to get to the third shield. If they reach it, we'll be trapped."
Paraith paled.
"How is that possible?"
he demanded.
"No one knows, sir, only that they're inside the walls. We need to fall back if we hope to defend the upper district."
Paraith didn't hesitate.
"You're right. There's no way we can fight the blind if they're coming at us from both sides,"
he cursed.
"Sound the retreat, Hale. We'll regroup at the palace."
Paraith turned to Elosian.
"We need the accursed gifted North Warden. No two ways about it,"
he said, his expression grim.
"The palace is the strongest defensible position in the city, but even with the shadows, I don't know how long we'll be able to hold it."
A horn blast sounded the retreat, and the essence lighting the pass abruptly blinked out. Suddenly, Weir froze, glancing up at the top of the second shield, where the chaos sounded worst.
"What is it?"
Davian asked, seeing his expression.
"Asha is up there."
Davian was moving before Weir realized what was happening. He sprinted after his friend. They made it almost halfway to the stairs before two armor-clad Echoes stepped into their path.
"I don't have any essence left, Dav,"
Weir warned. He saw Davian hesitating.
"They're not human anymore, trust me."
Davian nodded silently. He stretched out his hand as the Echoes closed in on them. For a moment, nothing happened. Then one of the attackers roared, knees buckling as a line of pulsing essence appeared between him and Davian. The man's face seemed to wither, as if it were aging at an incredible rate. His skin became sallow before finally disintegrating, leaving only a fine white dust that drifted smoke-like in the wind. The second echo hadn't paused in his wild rush towards them. Davian turned to face him, releasing the essence he'd drawn. It wasn't a bolt, though, as Weir would have expected, but something thinner, harder. The energy sped towards their attacker, taking him in the neck and slicing clean through. The soldier's head bounced grotesquely on the ground towards them, carried by his momentum. Neither boy moved for a moment.
"So, I see you can use essence now, too," said Weir, a little out of breath as they stepped over the decapitated body and pressed forward.
Davian nodded, eyes fixed on the way ahead. "As long as I don't draw too much at once," he muttered, more to himself than to Weir. Weir didn't understand the comment, but Davian didn't elaborate, and there was no time to ask about it. They managed to avoid further confrontation until they reached the top of the second shield, where they were once again brought to an abrupt halt. This time, four echoes stood in their way, not moving yet, but their dead eyes focused on the two boys.
"I don't think I can take them all. I'm tired, and it's getting harder and harder to use Khan," said Davian as he drew his sword, his tone grim. "But I'm not leaving her. I..."
The echoes sailed clear over the parapet, spinning away to crash to their deaths on the hard stone below. Davian and Weir both flinched back. When they looked up again, Asher was hurrying through the space where the echoes had just been.
"You need to get out of here," she said bluntly as soon as she saw them. "Follow me. I don't have a lot left in my reserve, but it should be enough to get us back to the third shield."
She slipped past them without waiting for a response. Davian exchanged a vaguely rueful glance with Weir, and then the two of them turned and hurried after her. Asher cleared their path twice more before they reached the temporary refuge of the third shield. Weir's father was waiting for them there, a clearly anxious Parade and Hale standing by the Duke's side. Elosian nodded his relief to Weir, and without a word the group headed towards the city. As they emerged from Fedris Idri, though, Parade held up a hand, bringing them to an abrupt halt. He frowned, cocking his head to one side.
"I don't hear any fighting," he realized. "We should have been able to..."
He cut off mid-sentence with a choking sound, eyes wide with pain. Behind him, Hale stepped away, the dagger in his hand dripping blood. He bared his teeth, eyes glazed as Parade dropped to the ground, dead before he hit the cobblestones. Before anyone could react, he leapt forward towards a paralyzed Weir, dagger lashing out in slow motion. It all happened in a moment. Elosian roared as he leapt in front of his son, taking the blade squarely in the stomach. Davian, who had been several strides ahead with Asha, was suddenly there and ramming his sword through Hale's chest. Both Elosian and Hale crumpled to the ground, the former moaning in pain, the latter twitching once and lying still. Weir finally found the ability to move. He dropped to his knees beside his gasping father, pressing his hands in vain against the fountain of blood pumping from Elosian's rent flesh. He closed his eyes. Healing a wound this severe would take a lot of essence. He would need to use everything he had left. He just hoped it would be enough.
"No, Torin."
Flecks of foamy blood appeared at the corner of the Duke's mouth, but his tone was firm, even at a whisper.
"No healing."
Weir stared at his father in shock.
"But you'll die,"
he protested. He furiously wiped away tears that he hadn't even realized he'd begun to shed.
"I can save you."
Elosian gave him a sad, affectionate smile, clasping Weir's hand in his own.
"But you must not," he murmured. "We've been tricked, Torin. They'll be coming through Fedris Idri. We need the gifted to fight, else we all die. Not just me."
"But..."
"Promise me, Torin."
Elosian's grip began to weaken, but his tone was edged with urgency.
"I'm starting to lose focus. If I get confused, I need you to know that this is what I want. Changing the tenets is all that matters now. I need you to swear to me that you will let me go."
Weir stared at him for a long moment, then sat back, letting his shoulders slump. Tears ran freely down his face now.
"I promise."
The Duke sighed in satisfaction. His eyes glazed for just a second, and he coughed, then moaned in pain. When he looked up at Weir again, his gaze seemed different, panicked.
"Torren,"
he whispered.
"What is happening?"
Weir paused uncertainly, then swallowed a lump in his throat. The loss of blood was starting to disorient his father.
"You were stabbed,"
said Weir, keeping his tone as gentle as he could.
"You saved me."
Elosian groaned.
"You're older. I don't understand."
Weir held his father's hand tight. Elosian was fading fast.
"Everything's all right. I'll be here until the end."
Elosian shook his head in desperation.
"No, I don't want to die. Help me."
He grabbed Weir by the shirt, pulling him close so that all Weir could see was the fear in his eyes.
"Help me, son. I beg of you. I know you can heal me. Do not let me die."
Weir looked away.
"I'm so sorry,"
he said, barely choking out the words.
"You told me not to."
He swallowed.
"I love you, father."
"No,"
whispered Elosian.
"No."
His hand went limp and his eyes stared sightlessly into the night sky. Weir just knelt there, racked by sobs as he bent over his father's body. He stayed like that for several seconds. Then he took a deep, shuddering breath, forcing down his emotions and wiping his face, doing his best to regain a semblance of composure. There would be a time for grieving, but for now he needed to make sure his father's sacrifice had not been in vain.
"Oh, no."
Weir's head snapped up at the horror in Asha's voice. She was staring at Elosian's motionless form as if she had just understood something terrible.
"I'm so sorry, Weir,"
she said softly, dazedly. She shook her head, looking at both him and Davian.
"There's something I have to do. I have to go."
She hurried off before either of them could respond. Weir watched her go, too numb to wonder at her reaction.
"Raise the alarm,"
he said dully to the soldiers nearby, who were looking on in mute dismay.
"The blind have tricked us. We need everyone back to the shields."
He watched the men leave, then turned to Davian.
"And we need to go to Tol Athian."
Davian was still staring at the three bodies on the road, bloodied sword hanging limp in his hand.
"Why?"
"Because it's time to end this," said Weir heavily. He got to his feet. "It's time to change the tenets."
Chapter 51. Asha darted through the eerily deserted palace hallways. Most able-bodied people willing to fight had left for Fedris Idri hours ago. Only the city's governing structure remained here now, along with those too young or too old to wield a sword. Asha's footsteps echoed as she hurried along, doing her best not to panic whenever she thought of what was happening at the shields, trying instead to focus on locating the next lock room, and trying to decide whether she was hoping to find Aaron there, or was worried that she would. Aaron had been in a lock room in his vision. Asha had even stopped back at her room to read his description again, to make sure there weren't any further clues in it as to his location. There hadn't been, unfortunately. Nor had there been any indication of exactly what was going on. No hint as to why he had seen Elosian's death as if it had been his own. She was fairly certain that was what had happened. The description fit, and Hale's death meant that the man wouldn't be stabbing Aaron anytime soon. As to what that implied, a theory had begun to form as she'd made her way back to the palace, and it was one that made an increasing amount of sense the more she thought about it. She just desperately hoped it was wrong.
"Asha!"
Asha looked over her shoulder to see Cole and Fessy hurrying towards her, and stopped just long enough for them to catch up.
"Have you seen Aaron?" she asked them.
Fessy shook her head.
"Elosian told us all to stay here until he sent for us," she said in a worried tone. "But Aaron disappeared a couple of hours ago. We were just looking for him."
"I think he's in a lock room," said Asha.
Cole frowned.
"Why do you say that?"
"He foresaw it." Asha hesitated.
He needs our help.
Fessy and Cole glanced at each other.
There's a locker room a few corridors over. It's Aaron's favorite. He goes there to be alone sometimes, said Fessy.
Asha nodded.
Lead the way.
When they arrived, the door was locked, but it took only one solid blow from Cole to open it. Asha's heart sank as she took in Aaron's prone form in the middle of the room, a pool of blood around his head. The three of them rushed in, kneeling beside the young augur's prostrate body. Blood seeped from his eyes, his ears, his mouth, but, Asha realized with a relieved sigh, he was still breathing. She checked his pulse. It was faster than it should have been, but regular. Fessy gently cleaned away the worst of the blood with a handkerchief, then grabbed a pillow from one of the couches and laid it under Aaron's head. As she did so, his eyes fluttered, and he gave a racking cough, sending flecks of blood onto his shirt.
Just breathe, Aaron, said Asha. You're alive. You're going to be okay.
Aaron groaned.
I'm going to have to take your word on that.
What happened? Asked Cole.
Aaron hesitated, then glanced up at Asha. As soon as she saw the guilt in his expression, she knew her suspicions had been right. Her heart sank.
Tell us, she said softly. Everything.
Aaron gave a slow nod, then winced at the motion. He levered himself up onto one elbow, his gaze encompassing all three of them.
I've been keeping something from you, from all of you,
he said, his voice small.
Do you remember what I told you about how Alosian and I met?
Of course, said Fessy.
It's only partly true.
Aaron swallowed.
The administrators did find me, and they did bring me to Alosian. He came into the cell where I'd been tied up, and...
He grimaced, squeezing his eyes shut against the memory.
It's okay, Aaron, said Asha, her tone gentle.
Aaron took a deep breath, giving her an appreciative nod.
He started beating me. He didn't ask me any questions, but whenever he was taking a rest, he'd tell me a story. Each time it was about one of the previous augurs he'd captured. The ones he'd already killed.
Fessy took a step back, paling.
That's not true. Alosian wouldn't have done that.
Not the Alosian you know,
agreed Aaron quietly.
He was about to kill me, and something just snapped. I was inside his mind somehow. I made him stop, made him take me down. I was just going to get him to let me go, maybe try and make him forget all about me, and then I thought...
He gave a slight shrug.
There are going to be others.
Cole sat heavily as what Aaron was saying sunk in.
You've been controlling Alosian?
Not always directly, but yes, for the past 3 years.
Aaron stared at the floor, unwilling to meet anyone's gaze.
To start with, I just sat in this room most of the day and made sure that he didn't try to kill anyone. I don't know why, but after a while, the link became more permanent, easier to sustain, to control. And then my feelings, my ideas began replacing his. Bleeding into him, I suppose. He started to think like me. Started doing what I would have done in a situation but of his own volition.
He grimaced, looking awkward.
After that, I just made sure that when I felt the old Alosian starting to take over again, I suppressed him.
There was silence for a long few moments as they all tried to process what Aaron had told them.
He really murdered the other augurs he found?
Asked Fessy, distress evident in her tone. Aaron gave her a sad nod.
Four of them. One was 8 years old.
The blood drained from Fessy's face, and she looked away.
Then you did the right thing, Aaron. I wish you'd told us, but
You did the right thing, she said softly.
Cole hesitated, then put a muscular arm around Fessy, nodding his silent agreement.
So why tell us now? The big man asked.
Aaron bit his lip, glancing at Asha.
Elosian was killed, Cole, about an hour or so ago, said Asha gently.
Cole looked at her, shocked, and he took a moment to respond.
What happened?
The blind fooled us into leaving the shields and...
Asha trailed off as she thought about that moment, remembered how Elosian had jumped in front of Weir, how the Duke had pleaded with his son not to save him, so that the tenets could be changed. Aaron saw her expression and gazed at the ground.
He was wounded, he finished. The details don't matter.
Asha stared at Aaron, uncertain how to feel. She'd put her trust in Elosian. She'd liked the man.
You sent Torin to Caladel,
she said suddenly, feeling sick. Aaron nodded.
It was right near the start, before I got full control. Elosian would have killed him eventually. There was so much rage and fear when he looked at his son. Sometimes I could barely manage it, so I had to send him away.
Asha swallowed. Weir had been so happy, so proud to discover how much his father had changed.
Torin must never know.
Aaron opened his mouth to reply, but somebody else spoke first.
Augurs, murmured a voice from the doorway. So it's true, then.
Asha spun. Siner stood at the entrance to the lock room, his stance casual as he leaned against the doorframe. It was impossible to know how long he'd been there. The door had been broken by Cole's blow, and none of them had thought to try and close off the room anyway, so concerned had they been for Aaron's well-being.
Siner, said Asha, confused. What are you doing here?
Following you. Seeing if Terran's babbling held any truth, said the shadow.
He rubbed his forehead.
Honestly, the Shadrahin and I thought he was making it up, trying to find a reason for us to spare his life. I suppose we owe him an apology.
There was a shocked silence.
What does the Shadrahin want now?
Asked Asha, her voice flat and hard. Siner sighed, seating himself on the nearby couch.
So businesslike, he said sadly. The Shadrahin was actually very happy with the vessel's Ishalia. That was always her goal, but I knew there was something more to you. The fact you were left alive in Caladel, and then the way Aelrith reacted to you.
He shrugged.
I thought you might have something more to offer. And it seems you do.
He indicated the augurs with a lazy smile. In the corner, Cole snorted.
You cannot think we are going to help you.
Siner raised an eyebrow.
Then you don't mind if I let the king know what's been going on with his brother these past few years, then?
You're very confident we'll give you that opportunity, said Cole, or even let you leave this room.
Siner leaned forward.
Try to stop me and I will kill you.
Cole laughed humorlessly.
You think you can kill three augurs?
Siner smiled at him.
I killed 12 in one night once, he said, and they were far more accomplished than you.
There was dead silence as Asha and the others processed Siner's words. Suddenly Cole stiffened. He stared around the room, his eyes widening, face draining of blood as recognition spread across his features.
Fates,
he murmured to himself, a strangled sound. He turned to the others, gaze lingering on Fessy for a long moment.
Run,
he said, voice catching. Asha realized what was happening a split second too late.
Cole, no! Wait!
She screamed, moving to grab at him. With a roar, Cole leapt at Siner. The next few seconds passed in slow motion. Siner was on his feet before Cole had crossed half the distance between them, a blade in his hand. He stepped forward to meet Cole's charge, his arms blurring as he stabbed him once, twice, 3 times in the chest, the blows cold and clinical despite the incredible speed at which they were delivered. Fessy vanished from beside Asha, only to reappear behind Siner, evidently intent on subduing him. But Siner twisted faster than Asher could follow. His hand lashed out and caught the black-haired girl squarely in the face. Her body spun around from the force of the blow, and she crumpled to the ground unconscious. Aaron struggled forward furiously, but Asher grabbed him, able to restrain him in his weakened state. Then she shifted a little, stretching out her hand and letting what little essence she had left in her reserve flow into her ring. Siner made a casual gesture in her direction. Asha slowly lowered her hand again, trying not to let it shake. The energy building up in the ring had just vanished.
Disappointing, growled Siner as he surveyed the carnage in the room. It did not have to be this way. He walked towards the door, then paused. Aerith is dead, Shalia. He knew that was going to happen as soon as he saw you, he said quietly. But I spoke to him that day before he left. He wanted to kill you, but couldn't. Do you know why? Asha shook her head mutely. He said it was because our kind of Vade wanted you alive, said Siner. You've been marked by him, and none of his creatures can touch you. He stared at her for a long moment. I wonder why that is. Asha felt the blood drain from her face. It couldn't be true. And yet, there was something about Siner's tone, an arrogance that said he wouldn't be bothered telling her a lie. Siner glanced down to where Fessy lay as the girl began to stir, then turned to leave. One more thing. The Shadrahin thinks your King Andris is being controlled, much like the Duke was. He nodded towards Aaron. I don't particularly like the idea of the blind running the city, so please get him to figure out by whom. The last thing we want is for the king to suddenly announce we're surrendering. He tapped at his teeth with a fingernail, gazing at Aaron thoughtfully. You'll hear from me again soon. Hopefully under more civil circumstances next time.
He disappeared out the doorway, his footsteps echoing down the hallway as Asha and Aaron rushed to Cole's side. The big man was still breathing, but his breath bubbled whenever he exhaled, and the look of pain on his face told Asha he didn't have much time. In the corner, Fessy was stirring. She raised her head groggily.
What?
She saw Cole and gave a cry of dismay. She was kneeling beside him in an instant. Cole looked up at his friends, eyes tight with pain.
He was an augur,
he coughed, body spasming.
An accursed pre-war augur.
Be quiet, Cole. You need to rest, whispered Fessy.
She looked around, and Asha knew she was searching for a large enough source of essence, but there were none. Fessy pressed her hands desperately against Cole's chest, but he just shook his head, giving a rasping, hacking laugh. Blood seeped from wounds everywhere, and it began to dribble from the corners of his mouth, too.
I don't think you have enough hands, Fess,
he said in amusement. His eyes glazed over, and his enormous chest became still. Fessy just knelt there, head bowed over him, her long hair hanging onto his chest. Silent sobs racked her body. Dazed, Asha knelt by her side, putting an arm around her shoulder. Then Asha, too, had tears trickling down her cheeks. It couldn't be true. Cole was too big, too strong to die. He would wake up, and later they would all laugh at what a scare he had given them. Aaron carefully knelt opposite the girls, expression stunned, eyes glistening. Gently he lifted Fessy's hands from Cole's bloodied chest, then drew the large man's eyelids closed. All three of them knelt there for several minutes in silence, in shock, grieving for the loss of their friend. Eventually, Fessy looked up and when her eyes met Ash's, they were cold.
"You knew. You tried to stop him," she said. "You knew, and you let him come here."
"Vessi!"
It was Aaron.
"This wasn't Ash's fault, and you know it."
He took a deep breath.
"I'd read his vision too, you know. There was no way of knowing this was..."
He trailed off, overcome with emotion. Vessi didn't respond, just bent her head over Cole's body again, not moving. Asha finally sat back, her mind reeling. It had all happened so fast, and as little as she wanted to face the fact, there was still a battle going on. There was no time to grieve, no time to take stock, especially not if what Siner had told them was true.
"Aaron," she said quietly, "what Siner said..."
Aaron took a deep breath, then straightened.
"It's possible, I suppose," he admitted. "I've considered it before, a few times, but the physical symptoms just don't make sense. I tried to check a couple of times anyway, but..."
He grimaced, giving a reluctant nod.
"Being connected to Elosian all the time did make sensing Khan harder. I might have missed something."
Asha bit her lip.
"Then we need to speak to someone about this. Even if we do discover the king is being controlled, we can't exactly march in there and tell people to stop listening to him. We need someone who will know how best to handle a situation like that."
She looked at Aaron.
"Can Master Kardai be trusted?"
Aaron inclined his head.
"Yes."
"Then let's find him."
Asha gave Aaron a doubtful glance as she registered just how unsteady he was on his feet.
"Are you going to be able to do this?"
"Not much of a choice," observed Aaron,
his tone grim. Asha nodded. She brushed a loose strand of hair from her face and looked across at Vessi, who was still on her knees beside Cole. The other girl hadn't reacted to anything that had just been said. Aaron followed her gaze. He hesitated, then reached over to Vessi, placing a comforting hand on her shoulder.
"Vess,"
he said gently, voice catching.
"I know this is hard, but we might need you. We will come back for Cole, I promise."
Vessi didn't respond at first. Then she shook her head, her eyes lingering on Cole's motionless features.
"If you need me, I'll be here," she said.
After a few moments, Aaron nodded. He got gingerly to his feet, accepting Ash's arm in support. They paused in the doorway as they left, watching as Vessi stroked the hair back from Cole's face.
"We need to go, Asha," said Aaron quietly.
Asha nodded, swallowing a sudden lump in her throat. She made sure Aaron had a firm grip on her arm, and they began slowly limping towards the Great Hall. The doors to the Great Hall were open, much to Asha's surprise. One of the guards outside recognized her, and after a moment's hesitation, waved her and Aaron straight through. Asha frowned uneasily as she entered. The enormous room was near empty, its only occupants a small group of people talking in hushed tones off to one side. The throne up on the dais was disconcertingly vacant. She exchanged worried glances with Aaron, then headed towards the circle of people. The group looked to be mostly made up of men from the great houses, but she breathed a sigh of relief as she recognized Layman in amongst them. The king's advisor spotted her a moment later, smiling and murmuring a quick apology to his companions before walking over.
"Ashalia."
Layman had dark circles beneath his eyes, but his demeanor seemed almost cheerful.
"What can I do for you?"
Asha indicated the empty throne.
"What's happened? Where's the king?"
she asked, unable to keep the anxiety from her tone.
"Sleeping."
Layman lowered his voice.
"Whatever was afflicting him seems to have just stopped. It was only a few minutes ago. One moment he was ranting about the gifted again, and the next..."
He shook his head.
"It was like something just snapped. He almost collapsed, didn't know what was going on. But when I told him about the blind, he immediately put Caroline in charge until he was well enough to resume his duties."
Asha glanced at Aaron, who gave a small, nonplussed shrug. She turned back to Layman.
Do you know what changed?
Lehman hesitated, then nodded.
The tenets, he said softly. We don't know what the new ones are yet, but Drass felt it happen. It couldn't have been more than a minute later that the king came to himself.
He shook his head at her bemused expression.
I don't know the significance of it either, but for now I'm just grateful. Caroline knows what she's doing, and if the tenets are different, I'm hoping it means the gifted can fight.
Asha shook her head, a little dazed, relieved to hear that Weir had been successful, but unsure how it could possibly have affected events here.
So what happens now?
Now? There's little else left but to get everyone we can to the shields, said Lehman grimly.
He glanced back over towards the gathered lords.
Speaking of which...
Asha nodded her understanding.
Thank you, Master Kardai, she said. Fates be with you out there.
And with you, Ashalia. Aaron?
Lehman nodded to them both, then hurried back towards the gathered noblemen. Asha and Aaron left the Great Hall again and began heading back towards Fessy in the lock room, silent for a time as they walked.
What do you think it means? Asked Asha eventually.
Aaron shook his head.
I don't know, he admitted. The tenets shouldn't affect Khan. I'm glad the king is free of whatever was wrong with him, but it makes no sense.
Asha just gave a frustrated nod, having reached much the same conclusion. They arrived at the lock room to find Fessy sitting on the couch, still staring listlessly at Cole's prone form. She didn't look up as they entered. Asha gave Aaron a hesitant glance, then crouched down in front of Fessy.
Fessy, the king has recovered, she said. The blind are still attacking, though. It's time we went to the shields to see how we can help.
Fessy looked up, but at Aaron rather than Asha. There was a second of silence as the two gazed at each other, and then Fessy gave a small nod. Aaron coughed, suddenly awkward.
We've decided to leave, Asha, he said in an apologetic tone, looking uncomfortable as he said the words. You're certainly welcome to come with us, though.
What?
Asha looked between the two of them, stunned. They must have been communicating using Aaron's ability. Asha felt a stab of anger at being so bluntly excluded.
You can't leave now. And besides, there's no way out.
There are still some smaller ships in the harbor. The houses left them there as a way to retreat, should the shields fall, explained Aaron. They won't be guarded now, and there are more than enough for us to take one without putting anyone in danger.
Asha gave him an incredulous stare.
Do either of you even know how to sail?
Elosian did.
Aaron looked her in the eye.
We can't stay, Asha. Surely you must see that. With Siner out there, knowing what he knows, he's either going to try and use us or turn us in. Until we can figure out a way to deal with him, it's not safe for us here. Or you, for that matter.
His tone was earnest.
Please, come with us.
Asha hesitated for the briefest of moments, then shook her head.
I can't. I suppose I understand, but... I just can't.
She paused, then laid a hand on Fessy's shoulder.
I will take care of Cole's burial, though, I promise.
Fessy looked up at her for the first time since Asha had entered the room.
Thank you,
she said softly. Aaron watched for a moment, his expression sad, then took two quick steps and embraced her.
Fates be with you, Asha.
You too, Aaron.
Asha looked down at Fessy.
And you, Fess. I'll be thinking of you. Be safe.
Fessy gave her a tight, tearful smile.
We'll see you again, Asha.
Her voice shook a little, but there was hardness behind her eyes, too.
We'll be back to deal with Siner soon enough.
She stood, reaching over and taking Aaron's hand in her own. They vanished. Asha didn't move for a long moment, twisting the ring on her finger nervously. The augur's abrupt departure had suddenly given her pause, made her wonder whether it was really worth her going back to Fedris Idri. Her reserve was close to drained. She wasn't sure how much more she could do in battle anyway. And it felt wrong to leave Cole like this, alone on the floor. But she knew straight away that those were just excuses. She took a deep breath, squaring her shoulders. Even if she was only able to summon one final blast with her vessel, returning to help at the shields was the right thing to do. She took a long last look at Cole's lifeless form, grief still heavy in her chest. Then she turned and left, heading for Fedris Idri. Chapter 52. Weir rolled his shoulders, sensing more than seeing Elder Ilinar's glare. There was a stony silence as the group walked deeper into the toll, broken only by the occasional nervous cough from one member of the council or another. Weir scowled to himself. His arrival at the toll and his announcement that he was going to change the tenets had been met with open arms. His insistence that Davian accompany him to do so had not. He glanced across at his friend, who was walking alongside, evidently lost in thought. The council had been furious at Weir's obstinance, going so far as to call Davian a threat after what he'd done to Ilseth Tenvar. Eventually, though, Ilinar had relented, if not graciously. Weir could still feel the man's anger emanating from him whenever they locked gazes, but he didn't care. He was here for one purpose only, to fulfill his father's dying wish, to make sure his sacrifice had not been in vain. "I would have understood, you know," murmured Davian suddenly, as if reading his thoughts. "You didn't have to rile them on my account." Weir shrugged. "I needed someone with me for this, someone I can trust." Davian inclined his head. "Still, I'm not sure that I blame Ilinar. I probably wouldn't want me involved in this either, after what happened this morning." Weir gave him a stern sideways glance. "What you did to Tenvar was an accident, Dav," he said. "You were doing what needed to be done. And honestly, it's not like the man didn't deserve it." Davian grimaced, but nodded. He watched his friend for a moment. "How are you holding up?" Weir gritted his teeth, swallowing a sudden lump in his throat. He'd managed to push what had happened to the back of his mind for now, and he wanted it to stay there, to keep the emotions at bay until this was done. "There will be time for grief later. This is what my father wanted," he said grimly. Davian gave him another nod, accepting the statement in silence. After a while, they came to a halt in front of a large, solid-looking steel door. Ilinar pressed his hand against its surface, releasing the wards that protected it. Once he was done, he produced a set of keys and opened it, holding it ajar so that everyone could pass through. Weir stared around the chamber within as he entered. It was entirely empty of furnishings except for a thick, squat table in the center, which itself looked carved from the same black rock as the rest of the room. In all, it seemed unremarkable. Nashrell waited until all the elders were inside, and then walked over to the table, placing a hand on it with something approaching reverence as he closed his eyes. He murmured a few words under his breath, and essence began to flow from him into the stone. Weir watched, wide-eyed. The table turned a deeper shade of black. Suddenly,